Nick Hart from Backstreet Boys.
Shout out to Boy Band Break.
It's Chris Kirkpatrick here. Shout out to your podcast, Boy Band Break.
Hey everybody, this is Howie D, and I'm listening to Boy Band Break.
Hi, Ashley Parker Angel here. Huge shout out to the Boy Band Break podcast.
This is Brad from LFO, and you are listening to Boy Band Break.
Hey, what's up? This is Jacob.
It's Dan.
What's up? It's Trevor.
And it's Eric Michael, and it's time for Boy Band Break, baby. Let's go!
Welcome back to Boy Band Break. We encourage you to take a break from your day and join us in some boy band conversation. As always, I'm Chinzia.
I'm Sophia.
And Lydia, aka Mama Lou, is not here again, but I swear she will be back eventually. She's just not here yet.
She's hustling hard for her business.
She's hustling, baby. She's actually doing quite well with her VTuber subscribers.
Yeah, and her views are doing very well. The subscribers. Yeah. Good job, Lydia.
So huzzah to Lydia. She's also part of an improv group called the 404s. So she just had a show yesterday. I didn't get a chance to get out to it, but she does that in Toronto. And at the end of this month, she'll be at Anime Ottawa doing more shows. So there you go. So
yeah, it's a week of shows, so that's cool.
Yes, so it's like a whole like Easter weekend she'll be in Ottawa. So if you're into anime and want to go check that out, that she will be she has to travel, so she's gonna be gone for like 5 days. So
right,
yeah, so there you go. But we will also be traveling that weekend as well.
Yes,
if the event is not canceled.
Well, they finally, Eric Michael Estrada and Chris Kirkpatrick finally shared it on their IG story.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yeah, so Sophia and I and our friend Leslie are making a trek to Grand Rapids, Michigan to see a night of symphonic boy bands, which is Christopherman Sink, Jeff Timmons from 98 Degrees, and Eric Michael Estrada from O-Town. And they will be playing with a symphony. So tickets are really cheap and still available. So if you are in the Michigan area, you should go check it out, please, so they don't cancel it. But there are still tons of good seats available. Still no VIP options yet, but possibly they will be doing something.
I feel like the six rows have been, gotten. So I feel like they won't cancel it, but maybe.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like the first section is.
Yeah.
Sold, but I don't know how much they need.
Who knows what
it should be a lot of fun. You know what? I feel like they're practicing anyways. They might as well. Maybe they get a lot of people who buy last minute tickets to the symphony. Who knows? Or there's a lot of other symphony shows happening. So maybe once they go to those ones, they'll start to see that there's other shows. So anyways, that is not what we were talking about today. So we are also talking about New Kids on the Block. We mentioned last week that they had a single coming out called Kids. So that came out on March 5th. And other surprising news that came out is that they are releasing a new album. I don't know if this is actually, and it is called Still Kids. So it is their 8th studio album. It'll be released on May 17th, 2024. And it says the album is the group's first in 11 years, and that their new single, Kids, came out on March 5th. So that should be pretty cool.
So I guess because they were signed to BMG, they're like, yes, let's bring out an album. And then this is the album.
Woohoo! Because I honestly did not realize it was an album, but I'm like, this is great. Love New Kids album.
More content for us. More enjoyable.
There you go. They'll probably perform some of those songs on their Magic Summer Tour. So, so lots and lots of fun.
Lots of exciting news.
Exciting New Kids news. Yes. So they have a little dance, and they were doing like teaching you how to do the dance. So I guess if you go on TikTok, you can do the dance.
Donnie Wahlberg also shared it on Instagram. They were also on the Kelly Clarkson show, talking about it. So lots of fun things they were doing there.
Lots of fun things if you're a New Kids fan. Something that came up today or yesterday, not sure what it means exactly, but Chris from NSYNC has posted a picture of dice. So like two dice, so a pair of dice.
Yes.
So people called are like, Paradise, oh, this has right? to, because they're on the new Justin song, Paradise.
Yes.
His album is coming out soonish.
Mm. I don't remember the
also
date.
Also May? Let me just check.
Yeah, I think it's also May, actually. It seems to be a popular month, May.
Yes. And then we also obviously have 98 Degrees releasing a new album in April. It's going to be a very good boy band year. So the new album is called Everything I Thought It Was. And I don't know when it's coming out. March 15th. Okay. Apparently it's coming out very soon. It is coming out March 15th. So do
you think that we're going to be doing an album review of Justin Timberlake, even though, you know, certain members of the podcast don't like him as much? Should we do that? Because we have done...
I feel like if Lydia is available, then that's good. So we can have three voices talking about the album and not just you. But we'll see. If you guys want us to review the JT album, leave a comment. So a lot of people are thinking, so the picture that Chris had posted was like a pair of dice that had a 4 and a 1. So people are like, oh my God, this means that on April 1st, when Justin is performing at the iHeartRadio Music Awards or whatever it's called, that maybe he'll bring in Sync out and they'll perform the song. So I feel, take this with a grain of salt, people, because you know what else is on April 1st? April Fool's Day. So don't make me fool here, because then we were all excited because we thought NSYNC were going to perform the Troll song back. Like, and yes, I know there was a whole bunch of legal stuff going down, but
it was also strike time for the
striking
actors
and all that jazz. So maybe because the song is not part of a movie that they might be able to perform it. Who knows?
It would be nice.
But then, who knows? So if NSYNC want to make their appearance on television, I'm all game for that. So yes.
Same. I cannot wait to see what happens.
Yes. Okay. I think that's it from the updates from this last week. I don't think there's any other updates you can think of.
No. Nick is on tour now.
AJ and Joey are doing their thing. So yeah. So
they did a eat and greet already. They performed on Good Morning America. People really enjoyed it. So
there you go. Having a good time.
Absolutely. Everyone's having a great time.
So speaking of great times and concerts, tomorrow, the day this is recorded, the next day, so on March 11th, we are going to see Westlife in concert. So Westlife kind of reunited and they decided to do like a mini St. Patrick's Day tour. So they're hitting up Toronto, New York, Chicago, and Boston.
And they sold really well, right? You were saying?
It sold really well. Like basically all the, like they're smaller venues. They're like 3,000, 5,000 people.
But still. So
the original date was Wednesday, March 13th in Toronto. But then they sold. So they added a Tuesday, the 12th, and then they also Monday, the 11th. So I was able to snag tickets for the Monday, the 11th show, which is ironically, I believe, the first show of the tour. So we will be there for that. We're in the aisle near the back on the, if you're looking at the stage on the left-hand side, so on the floor. So if you see us, come say hi. Good times ahead. Looking forward to it. So okay, so that's Westlife.
So then it's a good thing we are doing a greatest hits Westlife album review.
So although we enjoy Westlife, we realize we really don't know them a lot or their songs a lot. So we figured, you know what, let's refresh ourselves. We've talked about Westlife twice, specifically on this podcast. One was in an episode called Boy Bands We Don't Know. So we did that one. And then another one, we did the Westlife debut album review. So I figured, okay, if we're going to a concert, there's going to be a mix of songs. Why don't we find an album that is a mix of songs? So thinking, oh, Westlife can't possibly have that many albums. I beg to differ here, people, because they have 12 studio albums, 1 live album, 9 compilation albums, 16 music video albums, 55 music videos, 38 singles, 21 promotional singles, and 15 number one singles. So quite a popular band. So yes. Yeah,
And they pour. Yeah. And I feel like, I think it was a couple years ago, Backstreet Boys and Westlife performed.
Yes, kind of they like did some sort of concert.
Yeah, they were like a perform one song each or something.
And it would go back and forth between.
Yeah, it would go back and forth to where they were. I believe Backstreet Boys were on tour at that time, so they performed while they were on stage. And then yes. Westlife performed in like a hall or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Part of it. I didn't watch it all, but yeah. It was good.
And then I feel like Westlife have said in the past that they, one of their favorite bands is Backstreet Boys. Like they grew up.
Fair enough. And I believe they had a lot of the same like writers and things like that as well. Yeah. So I could probably be part of that. So yeah. The one that we have decided to review is Unbreakable, The Greatest Hits, Volume 1.
Yes.
So this was released November 11th, 2002. And it peaked at number one in Ireland and the UK. It doesn't say US or Canada what it got to. So,
to be fair, I feel like it's more a UK band.
Right, for sure, for sure. Yeah. So for those of you who don't No Westlife, they are an Irish boy band consisting of, wrong tab. I have many Westlife tabs open. Un momento, por favor. So they are an Irish pop group formed in Dublin in 1998. So that's like the good height of the boy band era. Yes. The members consist of Shane Fillon, Mark Philly. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to screw this up.
Peely, it's always enjoyable.
Kian Egan and Nikki Byrne. Brian McFadden, not to be confused with Brian McFadden, who is the guy who does a podcast with Christopher Sink and used to be on MTV. So Brian McFadden was a member before leaving in 2004. The group disbanded in 2012 after 14 years and later reunited in 2018.
Is there still five members or is it only four members?
So it's the four, but okay. We are not getting the four. We're actually only getting three. Oh, I was going to look that up too.
Right, because Mark, I believe, is like something with his voice, I believe.
I can, you know what, let me find the...
I think they posted on Instagram or something. Instagram. Saying like, unfortunately, he won't be able to make it.
Yeah, okay, I got it. Okay, so it's a little bit long. I'm just going to read it really quickly. So it says, hello and much love to all of you. It's Mark here. Most of you are aware that I've had some health challenges over the past while. It actually started 3.5 years ago in August 2020 when I had surgery. Within a few days of the surgery, I was in severe pain and was rushed to A&E, which I believe is just the emergency room. I guess they call that in Ireland. I eventually ended up with an awful day in ICU. Where I was informed that due to complications with the surgery, I had developed severe sepsis, a life-threatening infection that would require immediate emergency surgery to rectify the problem and basically save my life. I spent the next few months in hospital. It was during lockdown. For months, due to strict COVID restrictions, I was not allowed any visitors, including my fiance and my 10-month-old daughter. I was physically and mentally in a very, very difficult time, not to mention traumatic, having to spend so long in ICU. I was eventually discharged from the hospital in December of 2020. So that's what, like 6 months? And yeah. I had ongoing medical problems as a result of it. In late 2021, I became very ill in Newcastle before a concert and ended up back in A&E, this time being told I had pneumonia. I was told I had to go straight home to recover and regrettably missed the rest of the concerts that December. I was referred to a consultant who told me I needed more surgery, which I went ahead with in May of 2022, meaning I was forced to miss more of the Wild Dreams tour. 3 months after that surgery, I tried my best to soldier on for you guys and to go back on tour, but unfortunately the physical demands of the concert and extensive travel were proving to be too much. I developed a very large incisional hernia, which I was told I would need further surgery to fix it. This would be my fourth major surgery since the start of it all, but I had no option. The surgery took place recently. Thankfully, it went according to plan, but with that, my recovery has now become the absolute priority at this time. It is with utmost level of regret that I must now temporarily stand down from all Westlife touring until a time that I had a chance to fully recover from the turbulent journey I've been on through as an individual. Believe me, I wish things could be different. I would like to thank you so much for all your support and understanding of me and my health over the past few years. To my parents, brothers, close family, and friends, thank you for the relentless support, as always. Thank you to my beautiful daughter for giving me constant daily motivation and inspiration to keep fighting through this all and to get a better ASAP. And to my partner, Kayleen, for being there through the most challenging of times. To Shane, Kian, and Nikki, I love you three, and I know you'll knock it out of the park. I'll be there with you in spirit for each and every show whilst you continue to fly the Westlife flag around the world. And to all the medical staff who held my hand and kept my spirit lifted, you know who you are. My heartfelt thanks goes out to each and every one of you. I'm so devastated I won't be there to celebrate the upcoming concerts with you and the three lads. I hope you know and understand that I should have been there. I was so excited to be there and that I look forward to seeing you all again and to make some more magic in the future. But for now, I must make the right decision for my health and well-being, for my family, and for myself as a person. Please don't worry. Sending the most positive vibes in your direction. I will see you very soon. Beautiful people, Westlife forever. Love, Mark. Fihi, Fili, XX. So.
Wishing him a speedy recovery.
Yes. So wishing him a speedy recovery
and love and prayers.
You gotta take care of yourself, buddy. You're the only one who can take care of yourself. So there you go. So unfortunately, he will not be at the shows in March for the St. Patrick's Day ones. So okay, so I have that.
So like I don't know, is he like I don't know if you know how like in the group you have like kind of maybe ones that you don't like or ones that are not.
No, he definitely is one of the main singers. He's
like a big deal. I don't know. But
he definitely
is a speedy recovery.
I believe he sings a lot of the, or maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know all their names. I don't, I feel bad. I feel bad that I don't. So Shane, Mark, I think he's the dark haired one. See, they don't have all the pictures.
I don't know. Like, I'm sure he does a lot of the singing, but I don't know.
I think he does. I think they all kind of share a lot of the vocals. So,
okay. But I just think like, I don't know. Yeah. So just putting us like a spoiler almost out there, like we don't know much about them still, even though we've done a couple of episodes on them.
I feel like he sang lead in a lot of music videos, but I'm wondering if I'm confusing him with Shane. So,
yeah.
Shane is one of the two lead singers. Okay, Mark.
And then honestly,
Mark is one of the two lead vocalists. Yeah, that's what. Okay. So, Mark is an Irish singer. He is one of the two lead vocalists of the pop vocal group Westlife. They have released 12 albums. Blah blah blah. So yeah, so he is one of the main singers.
Okay. So it's kind of like when Kevin left the Backstreet Boys, and then how he was able to sing more.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll distribute it now, right?
For sure.
And someone who in the group didn't have a lot of singing parts now has lots of singing parts.
Hello. Having said that, I have listened to their album and they have a very good like vocal harmony. So I feel like they're able to trade it off. And obviously if they've done the tour without him before, they already have some practice with rejigging the parts to who has to sing.
That's true. That mm-hmm. So that's good. Okay.
Should be good.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's get started. What time is it on your end?
It says 18 minutes.
Why is 10 minutes always disappear on my side? Okay.
Weird.
Weird. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyways, all right, let us get started. So
yes.
So we decided to go with Unbreakable Greatest Hits Volume 1. So I'll do my quick Wikipedia read through here. So Unbreakable Greatest Hits Volume 1 is the first greatest hits album by Irish boy band Westlife. The album was released November 11th, 2002. The album consists of all of the group's past singles, along with six new songs. Hit single Flying Without Wings was re-recorded as a duet with Korean singer Boa and Mexican singer Christian Castro, and each respective duet was included in the Asian and Spanish editions of the albums, respectively. We did not listen to those versions. The first single released from the album was Unbreakable, a UK number one single. The second single, the double A-side Tonight / Miss You Nights, peaked at number three in the UK and number one in Ireland. Unbreakable peaked at number one in the UK and sold 1.8 million copies in the UK alone. The album was the ninth best-selling album of 2002 in the UK. It is also the band's biggest selling album and their longest charting album. The album spent 55 weeks, so that is more than a year.
Yep.
On the UK Top 100 Albums chart. This is the fifth best-selling album of 2002 in Ireland. It was certified 2x platinum, exceeding 2 million sales in Europe. In 2008, the album was reissued in New Zealand, titled Unbreakable, The Greatest Hits, 2008 New Zealand Tour Edition. The package featured the album plus the Live at Wembley concert DVD, peaked at number one, and sold a bunch. All right.
That's pretty good, because I've always heard like UK is one of the hardest places to chart music wise. So the fact that they were like number one, that's amazing.
Yeah. Doing great. And it even trickled over to North America. So we definitely heard some of these songs. I definitely heard a bunch of these songs because when I was listening, I was like, I know this song. So
yes, when I heard Swear It Again, I was like, yes, I know this song. And then I was like,
I don't know.
I think this song kind of sounds familiar. So yeah.
That's true. There was a lot of songs when it first started. I'd be like, and then it got to the chorus and I was like, yes, I know this song. So okay. So we ended up listening to this YouTube playlist. I'm just gonna show it possibly. If it starts messing things up, I will not show it. So it was called Westlife Unbreakable, The Greatest Hits Volume 1 by somebody named KCL. There was 20 videos in this song. However, the album itself only has 19. So they were missing one song, but they added a couple extra songs to it. So we did listen to the song that was missing just now, and we will go back and talk about that. Normally, when we listen to an album, we listen on like Spotify, but I couldn't find it on Spotify with all the songs. So somebody had put together this playlist, and let me tell you, I got distracted very easily by the music videos. So I'm just gonna give you a heads up that a lot of my comments have to do with the music videos, because that's how I roll.
And there are a lot of songs, so
I can't believe how many videos they have and how many.
And then some of the songs began to sound similar, so then I was like, is it the same song? And then they're like, no, the song changed. And I was like, okay. So
also, I'm very lacking sleep because my nieces and nephew have been over all weekend, and the twins are slightly insane. So they're going through a mine stage, mine, and screaming a lot. So that's sad. That giving you a heads up.
Toddlers. That's what they
do. Toddlers, man. Toddlers. All right. So good thing they're cute. Okay. So I guess we'll just start talking about the song. I guess I don't need to show the videos, do I? I don't know.
No.
What do you think? Okay. So as you can see, there's an aesthetic of lots of different colors in these videos, and they have videos for most of the songs. So
there's some audio ones.
Yes. Okay, so back to my trusty friend Wikipedia. Unbreakable Greatest Hits. Okay, so we already said how many. Okay, so the first song is called Swear It Again. It is from the Westlife debut album. It was produced, arranged, and mixed by Steve Mack, and it was written by Steve Mack and Wayne Hector. All right, so I have...
So I feel like we've heard this song probably... from YTV.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I was like, this song is familiar to me.
Yes. This is one of my favorite songs of theirs. Yes.
And it's really nice. Like, sorry.
It's a good song. Yeah, no, it's good. I'm just going to go back and forth. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, this is one of my favorite Westlife songs. I've had it on my playlist forever. I believe it's on our top 100 boy band break songs. Yes. Okay. So the music video, there's like a green curtain. The floor is lit up and they're basically singing to an empty concert hall. So I guess it's kind of like a prep for a
sound check, right?
Sound check, I guess. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're sitting in the seats and like watching the guy on stage and like making jokes and stuff. There's a black and white symphony playing on the screen when they're on the stage. They can see the symphony. And then that just kind of reminded me of the boy band symphony thing we're going to.
Yeah.
It's very slow. And then I really like when they get to that crescendo. I never want to see. Friggin' love this song. It's so good. I swore to you my love would remain. And I swear it all again.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
It's a good song.
Yes. Yeah, I love this one. I was like, I'm glad that I remember the lyrics. And I was like, yes, this is familiar to me. Because I was like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to even know any of these songs. But yes, I was happy to learn that I know this song.
Excellent.
Yes, so two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. All right, next up, second song, also from the Westlife debut album, If I Let You Go. This was produced and arranged by David Kruger and Per Magnusson, and it was written by Jorgen Elofsson, Per Magnusson, and David Kruger. So there you go. So that's...
It's great.
God, I suck at this. Actually, just realized I can go back to, hold on one second. Just want to see if the regular track listing, if there's any additional information. Okay, no, we're good. Okay, so, yes. Okay, so this one, I didn't think I knew. It sounds like it's from a movie. So basically it starts off like with a beach. And there's like horses and guys on horses in the water. And then there's like random parts where they're like cliff jumping, fully clothed. There's like a whole group of people. Then there's like maybe a shipwreck. And then so people are like pulling like pieces of wood out of the water. And then the guys are like randomly singing in this area that have all these like red and yellow flags. And then the people end up like building some sort of pole with a wheel on top and just like putting it up and walking away on the beach. And I was like,
it was very,
what the hell is happening? I was so confused. But then basically one of the lyrics that stood out for me is, if I let you go, how will I ever know my life without you? So I feel like there's a big theme in Westlife. It's either about how much they love this person or how much they're sad that this person has left them. That seems to be.
And I found that Westlife is more ballady.
Yes.
They're kind of like 90 degrees in that sense.
Yes. So I did notice, especially in a lot of these videos, there's barely any dancing at all. It's very like.
And then when I actually heard an upbeat song, I was like, wow, this is like. This is like 98 degrees.
Yes.
Because so I was like, 98 degrees has all of those balladies. And then like there's a couple songs that are a little bit
they just
more
throw in there and you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So obviously they have amazing vocals and that's their strength and that's what they're gonna kind of go with, right? I just realized that if I highlight over the words of the titles here, it actually tells you a little bit more facts. So I'm just going to go back to that and then I'll let you talk. So for Swear It Again, it said it was a song by Westlife. The ballad was released April 19th, 1999 in the UK as the first single from their album. The song peaked at number one on the UK singles charts for 2 weeks, giving Westlife their first of 14 number one singles. And then for this one, If I Let You Go, song by Irish boy band Westlife. It was released in the UK on August the 9th, 1999 as the second single from their self-titled debut album. It became the band's second number one hit, spending 11 weeks at the UK charts. All right. Sophia, what did you feel about this song?
So I was like, okay, well, at least one of the songs was good. This one was a little bit like, it was okay. I don't know. I thought the first one was the better song. So hopefully the third song is a little bit better. So, but not too bad, not bad of a song.
Okay. I just freaked out for a second because I noticed the third song was not the song on my list. And I was like, what the hell? And then I realized I was in the wrong tab and I was looking at the debut Westlife album. So in case you're wondering, the first two songs on the debut Westlife album are the first two songs on the Greatest Hits album. So just a
good. So we're all
on the same page. We're back on the same page. We're good. Okay. Back to Oh my God, I'm clicking in the wrong one. Hold on. Again. I take that back. The first three songs are the same. Okay, so we're just... So song number three is Flying Without Wings. So it is so it's produced, arranged, and mixed by Steve Mack, and written by Steve Mack and Wayne Hector. So it's the same as Swear It Again. And it says, Flying Without Wings is a song by Irish boy band Westlife, released October 18th, 1999, as the third single of their debut album. It is their fourth best-selling single on both paid for and combined sales in the United Kingdom as of January 2019.
Okay. This one seems to be about people passing, and
I don't like. First of all, can I just say that I thought this was a cover, so I was like, "Oh, I got to go look up who it's a cover of." It is not a cover of anyone. It is a Westlife song. So there's your first.
Yes, because Westlife is mostly covers.
Yes,
which is fine.
Well, they have lots of other songs that aren't covers,
right? But
this particular album has a lot of covers.
People know them of them as covers. I think that's safe to say.
Yes. So this song was like, they're all wearing black and they're walking through like lighted hallways. And then there's this like random child on the ground, which is also a theme I feel like in a lot of their songs. And then this adult, then they like switch at one point. They're now in these classic boy band white outfits. So they're just kind of like standing in this like dark room wearing white. Then there was like some slight choreography in the video. Like they put their arms out and they do some hand gestures. So I also noted they had great vocals. And then like near the end of the song, people just started like floating up to the sky. So I was like, is this some sort of resurrection? Is this a cult?
So I'm guessing like they're flying without
wings. They're flying without wings. So they're just like being lifted up to heaven, I guess. There's a lot of angels in their songs as well. So yes. Song is good, but yes.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Weird video, man. It's just a little
bit I don't know. I feel like it's sad, right? And then you're like, oh
yeah.
A lot of their songs are so nice. I don't know.
Yeah, you have the beat and then you kind of go like so they kind of have like
it's kind of like a downward. It's like down, right? But yeah.
Yes, for sure. Okay, so next, the next song is I Have a Dream, and I'm like, I know this is a cover. I go, I know ABBA has done this song before, but who did this song originally? ABBA is the answer. So so this is also from their debut album Westlife. It was produced by Dan Frampton, Peter Waterman, John Holiday, Trevor Steele, and it was written by B. Anderson and B. from ABBA. So it says, I Have a Dream is a Swedish a song performed by Swedish pop group ABBA. It was released December 1979 as the sixth and final single of their sixth album, Voulez-Vous. Annie Frid sang lead vocals. It was a major hit, topping the charts in many countries and peaking at number one.
One?
All right. It might be two. I can't tell.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was like, I heard, and then I was like, one. I don't know. Sorry.
I'm going to guess one, if not two. So, yes. I believe in angels that good in everything I see. I'm not singing good. Anyway, so the music video is black and white. They have like an old timey car. And then there's this like weird white like orb that's like floating around. It kind of reminded me, and I was going to ask you the name of the song, but it reminded me of that one Backstreet Boys music video when like Dennis Pop died. Remember there was like a bus on the streets and it was all dark.
Show Me the Meaning of Being Lonely?
I think so. It kind of gave me that kind of vibe. It kind of gave me that kind of a vibe.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, so it was all in, they're all wearing black. They're walking down hallways and alleys. Then there's these random kids start wandering, and eventually these kids like come out of nowhere and kind of join this like gang, not really a gang, but they like start singing a backup harmony. So it actually had like a cool effect on the song. And then at this point, because apparently my brain is a dumb, I realized that one of the members of this band of Westlife looks like the youngest son on Home Improvement.
Which one? Oh, the third
that
one?
Taryn Michaels, whatever that kid is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was trying to figure out which member of Westlife it is, but I'm like, this guy looks like him. And it was throwing me off. And I'm sure if I actually were to see a picture of the young kid from Home Improvement, I'd be like, what the hell are you thinking? But several of the music videos made me think this. Anyway, so then the kids start dancing around them in a circle. So the kids are all like holding hands, kind of like Ring Around the Rosie, while Westlife is in the middle. And they're just kind of all singing. And then at the end, they drive away in the old timey car. So I was like, okay, interesting video. Song's classic song. It's a slow song.
So I have a dream. So they have a dream about children
a dream.
Playing Ring Around the Rosie?
I don't think that's what this song. Let me look up the lyrics.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I thought it was an okay song. They sounded good.
Yeah, it's talking about believing in angels, fantasy, reality.
I don't know.
Na, 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 na. Yeah, it's kind of more like a lullaby song. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Some interesting videos in these first couple.
Like, you know what, though? Like, which I'm going to bring up later. They seem to have a lot of helicopters. That's all I'm saying. Like, the budgets for these music videos are pretty out of control on some of them. So
to be fair, it was the 90s.
And I know, and that was like the jam.
The Backstreet Boys paid like $2.1 million for Larger Than Life. So
yes.
I guess this was the style at the time to do this.
It was the style. I feel like nowadays they could definitely do them for cheaper with like drones and stuff, these videos.
Well, yeah.
A lot of like them like on tall places with like, yes. So
they should have done better. They should have done the, oh my God, Lou Pearlman way with like a blimp instead of like an airplane.
They definitely could have done that for
sure. Helicopter, that would have been funny. Yeah, sorry.
There you go. Good. Okay, so song number 5 on here is called Fool Again. It is also from the original Westlife album. It is produced, arranged, and programmed by Kruger. Which one was Kruger? David Kruger. And Per Magnusson, written by Jorgen Elofsson, Per Magnusson, and Kruger again.
Is it also from Sweden?
So these are the same people who did If I Let You Go.
Okay.
Yes. So, okay. So it's called Fool Again. It is a song. It was released on March 27th, 2000 as the 5th and last single from their self-titled debut album. The song
24 years ago.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Crazy.
The song debuted and peaked at number 2 in the band's native Ireland, making it the first Westlife single not to top the Irish chart. So,
but number two is still pretty good.
Yeah, it's still pretty good for sure. Okay, so there's a convertible car driving and they're like walking through like an old town, and at one point I think I saw Mexican flags, so it might be somewhere in Mexico that they're doing this,
maybe.
So then what some of the lyrics that jumped out was, can't believe I'm a fool again, I thought this love would never end. So basically like the girl has left them. There was like no good communication. Like she didn't tell them what they could have done better and stuff like that. So that's what they're kind of lamenting in this song. I said, I didn't think I knew this song until the chorus. So, but I've already forgotten what the chorus is. So, but when I heard it, I was like, oh, I know this song. So, there's also some parts where they're singing on a red couch, and it kind of reminded me of that other Backstreet Boys music video. I can't remember which one.
In
different apartments, as long as you love me.
I'll never break your heart.
I'll never break your heart. Yes, I don't know.
Yes.
Okay, so then this one ends with them singing on the roof of a very tall building, and there's like a triangle. So it's like a helipad, and it's just like this thing, and I'm just like, why are you wasting so much money on this clip of this? And it looked dangerous. Like, they were, like, not that close to the edge, but they were close enough that I feel like they would fall several
Do you think maybe they had, like, a harness on, and then you can't see it?
I have no idea, but I was just like, this is a very dramatic ending that doesn't...
Or maybe it's a green screen, and they just put it, like, they were,
I don't think they had green screen back then.
I don't know.
Anyway, so that's what that song is about. So,
All right.
It's
not a bad song, but also I was like, oh, can there be any more other songs? They all sound similar. I'm sorry.
No, it's fair. A lot of their songs do sound similar, for sure. Yeah. Especially if you haven't listened to the album multiple times, but they do have that. They have that really like kind of slow thing. Then there's like a dramatic part near the end, and then it kind of like.
But they do sound great, so I'll give them that.
Alrighty, so next up, Against All Odds, Take a Look at Me Now. This
That's
is,
like
again,
Mariah Carey, right?
So this one is with Mariah Carey.
And then I was like, this is a cover!
It is a cover, so...
Take a look at me now!
So this is produced by Mariah Carey and Steve Mack. I'm like, Mariah Carey produced it? Okay, sure. Vocals arranged by Mariah Carey and is written by Phil Collins. So Against All Odds, Take a Look at Me Now, is a song by British drummer, singer, and songwriter Phil Collins. It was recorded for the soundtrack to the 1984 film of the same name. It is a power ballad in which the protagonist implores an ex-lover to take a look at me now. So knowing that the reconciliation is against all odds, but worth the gamble. So there you go.
Yes.
So this is quite a popular
song. I thought this was a great song. I was like, yes.
I know this song. It's great. Yeah, so it was interesting. Obviously, it's a good song. I've heard the song before. You've heard the song before. Yeah. They did a good version of it. So
yeah,
basically,
I liked
the
it.
Video.
I was like, oh, that's a good version. Yeah. And anytime like Mariah Carey's on a song with you, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's a pretty good score.
Especially like, would she even know who the boy band is? Like, that's awesome.
Who knows, man?
Or maybe she did know. I don't know.
Well, she definitely saw them. So basically, the video is like,
I guess
the boys
with
are kind
Steve
of like,
Mack, right? Because Steve Mack, maybe they knew it of each other. So that's their in together. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah. So so basically, the boys are like traveling around town in car again and stuff. Mariah Carey is on a boat. They're kind of forlorn, singing about like, you know, their separate sections, like, oh, you know, against all odds. There's nothing left here to remind me, take a good look at me now. And then near the end, they also sing together. They're kind of like in the studio, or they're like kind of like walking through town with paparazzi taking a picture of them all. So like, that's kind of like, so it's kind of a lot more like behind the scenes-y type footage and them doing stuff. And then at the end, the guys like blow a kiss in their convertible and then they kind of drive off. And yeah, so.
Yeah, it was nice.
Good song.
Yes, definitely. I like this one. I like
and that is from the Coast to Coast album. All right, next up, also from the Coast to Coast album, is My Love. It is produced, arranged by David Kruger, Magnuson, written by Olofsson, Pell Nylén, David Kruger, and Per Magnuson. Okay, so a lot of Swedish.
Yes.
So this says, My Love is a song by Westlife. It was released October 30th, 2000 as the second single from their second studio album, Coast to Coast. The song debuted at number one on the UK singles charts, giving the band their seventh UK number one. Yes. So there's that.
Not a bad song. I thought it was pretty good.
That was a good one. So the... Oh, look at that. I've actually clicked on this. It'll tell you what the song is. Okay, well, what the video is. I'm just going to read what my notes were. So it starts at an airport and their flight is delayed. So then one of them makes a comment being like, I could walk there faster. So then they just start walking. They just, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
I guess in 2000 you could walk.
Yes. So then they're like inside the airport and then they go to... apparently Catherine Street. So they're just kind of just randomly walking down the street. Then they're at a train. Then they go to a beach. So they're just like, And then they end up on a on the cliffs of Moher. Okay, so yes. So this one, yes. Oh, so this is the song. So I say a little prayer. So I'm like, so when I got to that, I'm like, ah, I do know this song. Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. I like that one.
So then my last comment on that is I feel like the director's trying to kill them because they're on the edge of this cliff. They're very close to the end of this cliff, and then I'm assuming a helicopter is flying by to take footage of them, and I'm just like, okay, do we really need to be on these tall places so often?
We're looking in 2024 eyes, not in 2000.
That's true. It's pretty dramatic. A fun fact about the video, in April of 2017, it exceeded 100 million views on YouTube, becoming West's Life's first official video ever to get Vivo certified. And it amazing. Has 300 million. So there you go. So I guess if you have a helicopter, you're going to get some good views. I don't
I guess so.
But yeah, no, that's pretty, it was a good song. Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to say on that one?
No, I liked it. I thought it was not bad, you know?
Okay. So the next song is on this person's playlist. You know what? Let's go back to the actual next song on this album. So the actual next song on this album is called What Makes a Man. So it is not included in the playlist that we looked at. So we just like watched it last quickly. So it is produced by Steve Mack and written by Steve Mack and Wayne Hector, who also did Swear It Again.
Steve Mack must be with them a lot, you know?
Looks like it for sure. It's kind of like the main producer. So What Makes a Man is a song by Westlife. It was released December 18th, 2000 as the third single from their second album, Coast to Coast. It peaked at number 2 on the UK charts, and it was their first single not to peak at number 1, being beaten by the Christmas number 1 song, Can We Fix It, the theme to a cartoon series, Bob the Builder. So really, I guess it really depends on what comes out.
Can we fix it? Yes, we can.
So yeah, so that's what beat them in the UK, but it also peaked and debuted at number 2 in Ireland. They were kept out of the top spot by Eminem's song Stan. So two entirely different songs, but yes.
That's very interesting. Very like extreme one, extreme to the other.
It really is. So so then apparently Brian of Westlife had little faith in the release. Speaking in an interview, he remarked, "It's a weak song and we didn't do much promotional work. Bob the Builder deserved it."
Oh my god, that's funny.
That's funny. So basically some of them
kind of reminded me of another song.
It did, didn't it? Like,
yeah.
And then I was excited for a second because I was like, oh, what a man. I was like, what a man got to do? I'm like, it's definitely nothing like that song.
It kind of reminded me of, what another one? In the beginning of the Nick Carter song. Okay. Do I Have to Cry for You? Kind of sounded similar.
Kind of similar themes too. So one of the lyrics was, this isn't goodbye. I swore I wouldn't cry. So they drive to a helicopter and one of them's on a motorcycle.
Another helicopter.
Own a helicopter. I don't know. So they're singing alone in these rooms in this kind of like a white, I want to say like a beach house. And then there's like a fish tank and he's like dramatically singing through the fish tank at one point. One of them is playing with balls. Not those balls. Those like weird ones that people, you know, the ones you put in your hand and there's like, I don't know, they're kind of like,
it's a stress ball
sounds, but they're like hard. I don't know if that's what it is, some sort of massage, but I don't know what the heck.
Oh, okay.
I just thought it was funny. I was like,
maybe they have like a few of those.
Yes, because they're those ones that they make noise. I don't know. Then they're like suddenly in these like looking like shark skin suits and standing by a pool. And then basically some other lyrics are smile when you're around and cry anytime that we're apart, and what's a man got to do to get over you, basically is the lyrics, which is definitely not the same as the Jonas Brother one. What a man got to do, but anyways, that one so it was kind of slow, but yeah, it was okay.
Not bad.
I wouldn't say it was my favorite, but
they sound good, and I don't know, yeah, there's other there's better songs on the album, on this greatest hit, so
for sure, for sure. And I don't know why that person didn't include this song in their playlist, because there's an actual music video for it. I was like,
I have no idea.
What they did include, which is a bonus track, I'm just going to throw that in now because that's how we listen to it on this playlist. I Lay My Love on You. So this is definitely one of my favorite songs. You know, just
when I
smile,
heard this song, I was like, oh, I remember this.
I forget. I love I Lay My Love on You. Oh, okay. Here's what it says. So it said that I Lay My Love on You from Coast to Coast replaced What a Man on the Australian and the Asian version. So maybe the person who made the playlist was from Australia.
Yeah, maybe.
Or was Asian. So that is produced by David Kruger and Magnusson, Olfsson, Magnusson, Kruger. Un momento, as I get the actual back on this. So I Lay My Love on You was released as a fourth single from their second studio album, Coast to Coast, in January 2001, outside of the UK and Ireland. There's also a Spanish version. Uh-huh. En Ti Degi Mi Amor. Sorry for is on their South African only release. It's their 19th most streamed song in the UK. Really? I feel like it would be awesome. Higher up on that. Background. I Lay My Love on You along with When You're Looking Like That were not released in the UK. In an interview with Westlife, Mark Feely says that the main reason was because they had not had as much exposure in Asia and Australia. And the music video features them in Asia and South Korea, Japan, and Singapore. Many parts were also shot in Singapore, promoting their studio album. Interesting. Okay.
That is interesting.
That's like one of my favorite songs that we definitely heard in Canada. So it's interesting that that was not released in the UK. So there's a lot of them like walking in the rain. Then they somehow end up at like a soccer or football game, which is like Westlife versus United, and then they win. Then it's just like fans in the streets taking pictures, and you can see a lot of those old cameras and the like disposable ones. Yeah. An autograph. There's at a pool, they're jumping in the pool, which reminded me of that other band that we saw that did that. Remember that music video that that Lydia hated?
Oh, that band, yes.
From the boy band Forever or For
All For One.
It was that boy band that was made of members who lost from that boy band TV show. Anyways, had nothing to do with it. This is one guy jumping in a pool. And they're like backstage.
And the parents were there.
Yes. That was the one that it kind of gave me that vibe. But then like a once in a lifetime, you changed my world.
Yes.
Anyways,
so
love
this nice. Song. It's one of the
good songs.
I liked it.
Yes. Anything else? You good?
Awesome.
All right, back to the actual list and not the bonus songs. Next up is Uptown Girl.
I know this one. And I was like, oh, I like this music video because it's in a 50s diner. And I love 50s diners.
Well, see, there you go. It was like made for you. It was produced, arranged, and mixed by Steve Mack. Is that who we're saying his name is? Yes, Steve Mack. It was written by Billy Joel. So Uptown Girl was written and performed by American musician Billy Joel in 1983. It describes a working-class downtown man attempting to woo a wealthy uptown girl.
And I think I liked it because... when I used to watch Beverly Hills 90210, they went to a hangout called the Peach Pit.
And
the Peach Pit also is like a dining restaurant.
Yes, so it kind of had like that vibe and look.
Restaurant.
Yes.
And that's like a diner, so I was like, that's cool.
Okay, your voice really cut out and went robotic for a second, but came back. So, I got you.
Yeah, so I'm talking about France.
There you go.
Where we went to Fran's restaurant,
yes.
And that's also a diner. So I was like, that's pretty cool to go. And they had like the juice box, and this video also has a juice box. And
did you say juice box or jukebox?
Jukebox.
Okay. Oh, yes. I definitely did. So it was a very cute video. I liked it. It was one of those ones where it started a bit like a bunch of snooty guys in tuxedos decided they were going to slum it by going to this like diner, and then they're just like, oh, do you have like filet mignon and coq au vin and blah blah blah, and then you just see like the back of their like cute little like 50s style like shirt, button up shirts, and it the diner was called Blondes. And then the guys were all like, ooh, and they're just like, we'll just order cheeseburgers. And we need some cups for our pop, because they had brought champagne in. And then these guys
were, it was so weird,
like
yeah.
rolling their eyes at them. And they're like, whatever. And they're like cleaning and cooking and all that shit. So they're the like the waiters at the diner.
They're
you know, they're having a great time. So then the snooty guy's like, oh, let's play this jukebox. And then they start playing Uptown Girl, and then the guys all start singing it. So like the rich guys, they're like drinking the champagne, smoking cigars, being like dicks, and like, oh, look at me. And the guys look very cute in their blue work shirts. Yes, they're singing and cleaning, and then this blonde woman walks inside, and she looks very like posh and I thought I saw who the actress was. Hold on one second. Because when I was looking earlier. Oh my God, I just totally forgot what the name of this song was. Uptown Girl. Okay.
Yes. Who said
God,
this
I
song?
Who is so this song was originally by Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. I thought it was. Okay.
Well, I can't seem to find. I swear to God, I saw like a thing at one point that explained who was in the music video. But I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Anyways,
she looks familiar to me. I don't know.
Does she kind of had like a Claudia Schiffer vibe, but it wasn't really her, obviously. So I didn't. Anyway, so she walks in, and then when she walks in, like the record player, even though it's a jukebox that's entirely encased, like stops, and it's like, and then everyone's like, and everyone's looking at her, and she like goes and sits at the rich guy's tables, and the rich guys are like, oh, what's this amazing woman? And the guys were like singing and stuff and doing their own thing. And then so she's like bored with the rich guys, but she makes eye contact with the Westlife guy. And then she like takes off her coat and takes off her hat and like lets her hair out. And then everyone's like, oh, and they're all like drooling over her. And the rich guys are just sitting there in awe. And then she like just gets up and like walks out with the Westlife guys. And they just like, you know, walk out and just turn off the lights and leave. Close the
as
diner.
One does, as one does.
And the rich guys are just sitting there confused that they didn't get their food, and the hot lady left with the guys. It was actually, it was a cute little video.
It was cute. I enjoyed it.
It's good. Uptown Girl. Na, na, na. I feel like a lot of
Uptown World.
Yes.
I like it.
All right. Next up is from their third album. So this song is called Queen of My Heart. It was produced, arranged, and mixed by Steve Mack, written by McLaughlin, Robson, Mack, and Hector. It is from, so Queen of My Heart was released November 5th, 2001 as the first single of their third studio album, World of Our Own. It was released as a double A-side single, When You're Looking Like That, which I love that song.
Which was a really good song, yeah.
The song debuted at number one in the UK singles charts, giving the band their ninth number one single in 2.5 years, and became the 23rd best-selling single of 2001 and got gold status. Yes, so the music video for Queen of My Heart was directed by blah, blah, blah. It features them in a castle. Oh, I did write that. Okay. Okay, so now I know which member did. Okay, sounds good. Okay, so I didn't know this song. So it's black and white, and they're walking through an old mansion or castle. So then in it, so they're all kind of like singing in the rooms alone, which seems to be the vibe on a lot of their music videos. It's kind of like sad, but then when the chorus comes, it kind of like turns color and the floor lights up. So some lyrics I wrote down were tears lost in the rain, find my way back to your heart again. So you're trying to get back together with this girl. And then one of them shaved their head, so it's Nikki is actually the one who gives himself a buzz cut. Just randomly singing, he just starts shaving his head. We're like, okay, because he had a nice hairstyle before.
We're like, good thing hair grows back.
That's true. Guy's hair does grow pretty quick. And then, like, the near the end of the video, all these, like, fans show up, and people are suddenly in this ballroom, and it's all colorful. So they're all singing along and dancing, but very slowly, because it is literally packed. Like, you cannot move in this ballroom. So they're just kind of, like, swaying back and forth and singing.
Remember when we were in a ballroom?
Yes.
At the Comic-Con in Louisville, Kentucky, at yes. Fandom Fest.
That was quite an interesting. That was our first major convention or first boy band convention.
And yeah. Cool. And then Nick's like, isn't it crazy? Like, you look back on it and you say, remember that time we were in a ballroom?
Sitting around in tables?
Sitting around playing Uno?
That was quite
that was deep. Quite interesting. That was quite interesting. See, it's so true. Looking back now, the things that just trigger your memory,
it just reminds you of things.
Yeah.
This one looks more fun than that, but we did have fun there. We hung out with Chris and Joey, I believe, was there.
Joey too.
And AJ,
yeah. We hung out a little bit with Nick, but then the others came, and then
when the others came, Nick was like, "Goodbye!" And
goodbye. I had enough.
Yeah, that was great. Joey was so mad because they didn't agree to do it, but then good times.
Because he's like, because Joey was like, Nick signed the contract, but we didn't sign any contract.
Exactly. So then they didn't want to disappoint us, so they showed up, but there was just like it was just like a weirdly awkward, like, random little
and then that's thing. Weird because then it happened as well at on Rewind Con, but that one was like really bad.
Yeah,
remember it?
Oh, Rewind Con, sorry, I was thinking Rewind Con. Yes,
remember? Rewind Con was because they're like, no, we weren't supposed to go to this either because a majority of them had already left.
Yeah.
But then a few of them stayed, and they're like, we don't want to disappoint you guys. So I was like, wow, it's another theme. See? They're so sweet to help
us. Nice. So nice, these boy banders.
Yes.
Do you have anything else from the Queen of My Heart?
It was an okay song. I didn't really care for it too much, but, it's there.
All right. Next up, called World of Our Own. It is from the album World of Our Own. It is produced by Steve Mack, mastered by Ted Jensen, also produced by Andy Zula, Stevie Two Bars, written by Steve Mack, Wayne Hector, Dennis Morgan, Simon Climie.
So Steve Mack is like their Max Steve Martin.
Mack's their guy, boy, man, you know? I guess, yeah. World of Our Own was released February 18th, 2002 as the second single from their third album. The song peaked at number one on the UK singles charts, becoming their 10th number one single. It's the 40th best-selling single of 2002, multiple platinum. Okay, so I didn't know the song. I said it was more upbeat. There's like a girl cop, some tattooing, What Would I Do Without You? There's also the train station and hangar from, I believe, one of the other videos. They're in suits. I won't let you ship, I'll let you in. I don't know what that means, but I think those were lyrics. According to this Wikipedia thing, the music video was directed by Cameron Casey, and it was a Rat Pack styled. The band members are dressed up as gangsters as they enter in an American Hummer. Until the first chorus, the band members sing beneath a bridge. Then they go to the balcony of a futuristic building, then on a deserted bridge. As they sing, the darkness lifts and the sun shines, making everyone, the people, happy. The song ends a scene shifting from the top of a roof of yet another futuristic building to back under the bridge where the song initiated. There was a music video for the US version as well, which is more mature. Okay, so I didn't see this one. This video, directed by Antti Jokinen, features the band singing in an abandoned building with broken walls surrounded by shrubbery. The video occasionally cuts to various couples kissing and necking each other while the band continues to sing in the building equipped with mics and sitting on sofas. The video also shows the boys having fun at a party lit by candles, drinking beer, and flirting with girls. The video ends in the same fashion it began, by zooming out of the building. And there's another video where they're just recording the song in the studio. Interesting.
Indeed.
The song was upbeat. I don't know if I liked it better or worse. It was okay, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Yep. Definitely not heard it before. next up is Bop Bop Baby.
So when I saw this song title, I was like, okay.
I was just like, what does this even mean?
That's interesting.
Yeah, so this was produced, written, and mixed by Steve Mack, written by Brian McFadden. So they kind of wrote this song. Oh, that makes more sense. That definitely makes more sense. I have some notes here. Okay, hold on. It says Bop Bop Baby was released May 20th, 2002. It was the third and final single from their third album, World of Our Own. It peaked at number 5 on the charts. During the interview, the band claimed this was due to the obscure choice of single, as they much would rather preferred to release Why Do I Love You, for which they'd recorded a video. Interesting. 18th best-selling single. The song was written by members of the band, Brian and Shane, along with Graham Murphy and Chris O'Brien. This was their first song co-written by band members that was released as a single. He got inspired to write the lyrics after watching a Beach Boys documentary. It is okay.
Beach Boys are fun.
So what I wrote down for the music video, it starts off with this book. And it's like, once upon a time, men were still men, women were still virgins, and sex was still sexy. I was like, okay, this is a quick jump into something. So
this escalated quickly.
This escalated very quickly. There's like a maiden's dad who wanted her to marry some guy. And then Westlife is like the musketeers, but then they're thrown into jail. And then the chorus did sound familiar. So I may have heard this song, but I don't know. Bop, bop, baby, please don't let me go. And then they're talking about when I call you at home, he answers the phone, and then the girl is getting married, and then the pigeon, there's a pigeon that brings them a note to jail, and then there's some escape, and they ride horses, and then they break into this wedding on the horse, and then there's like fencing, and then they're punching the groom, and then they steal the bride. It was
compilation of videos.
It definitely wanted, I guess they figure they wanted something different. You know what? Now that I mentioned that, this apparently has a little thing about this music video. So let me read what it says on Wikipedia.
All right.
The video for Bop Bop Baby was initially to be directed by Vaughn Arnell and was to feature the band in front of the Irish skyline. Instead, the video was directed by Max and Danya. The video was supposed to have Naomi Campbell as the leading lady, but she canceled her participation at the last minute, and Leah Wood took over. The video was filmed at the University of Hertfordshire. It took 32 hours to film. There were 25 extras on set, 7 stuntmen, 2 horses, and Ganty Yates, the costume designer for Russell Crowe's Gladiator. The video is set during the medieval times. At the start of the video, it is said that a beautiful maiden wishes to marry for love, but her father wants her to marry Duke Vincent, played by Vinnie Jones, the vilest man in the kingdom for money. The band members serve as musketeers who are imprisoned in a dungeon by the Duke. McFadden attempts to approach a nearby prisoner, but is scared off. The 5 members break free, riding on horses, arrive at the wedding, and battle the Duke's men. At one point, Kian and Mark nearly slash each other, screaming in the process before getting attacked by the Duke. The band members attack the Duke before fleeing the church with the maiden. The Duke is in pursuit. The Billboard magazine called the video unintentionally hilarious, as well as a righteous masterpiece. So, it was a story within a story. So
there it is.
Definitely something. Okay. Moving on. We're getting closer to the end, guys. Okay. Number 13 is When You're Looking Like That. And it's from the Coast to Coast album.
Okay. After listening to like the slow songs, and you're just like, oh, please, there's gotta be like a good one. Obviously, Uptown Girl was good, right? Don't get me wrong. But then you're like, yes, this one's upbeat. This one was fun.
For sure, very upbeat and fun. So this one is produced by Rami Yacoub, which I believe he's done other boy bands as well. So he's a Swedish producer, and he works with Max Martin a lot. That's so that great. Could explain why this song is so great. It was written by Rami, Andreas Carlson, and Max Martin. So Max Martin also had a thing on this, so that's great. You're like, this song is fun. Yes. It's got the Max Martin touch. Yeah. Okay, so it is from their second studio album, released July 30th, 2001, is their sixth and final single. It peaked at number six in Denmark and was gold in Sweden. It was one of the, although it is one of the most popular tracks in the UK and has a music video played regularly in the UK, the single was canceled and not released in the UK or Ireland and charted outside of the top 100s. No idea. It doesn't really say. There's also apparently a Spanish version called Con lo bien que te ve. I don't know. So the song was written by a group of Swedish songwriters. So it was not released in the United Kingdom. In an interview with Westlife, Mark said that the main reason behind it was because they had not had much exposure in Asia and Australia. So again, this was one of those other ones. So the music video features a montage of their concerts, fans, autograph signing, and album signing, Miss South Africa 2000 and Miss World 2001. Finalist Joanne Strauss is featured in the video. This is their second video to feature fans and fifth video throughout their career. I said it sounded very familiar, so I've definitely heard it before. So it was very behind the scenes, concert, meet and greet practice. How am I supposed to leave you now when you're looking like that? It's a fun, upbeat song. Really love that song for sure. Okay. All right. So next up, number 14 is Unbreakable, which is, I guess, from this album. It was produced and arranged and mixed by Steve Mack, written by Jorin Elfonsen and John Reed. It was released November 4th, 2002. It is the first and only single of their greatest hits album. Okay. So the... Okay. Not a fan. So this was a very slow. I'm like, it's good. I feel like it could have been a wedding song. It's like, you're always there with me through it all. I can't believe that you're mine. So there's like a lot of good like lyrics that this love is unbreakable. So basically there's a girl and a guy on an island. The guys are singing on an unbreakable billboard that just happens to be on the beach. Don't really know. Then there's like a car accident on a wedding day and the guy dies and the girl's traumatized and crying in the bathtub. So let me see what,
she's like unbreakable, right? Even
yes. She throws spirits. The flower at the end. I don't really. So according to Wikipedia, the music video was filmed on the same beach as the video for If I Let You Go. And the band members are standing on the side that say unbreakable. A young woman is crying in a graveyard. So it goes into a flashback in which shows her and her boyfriend in a Jeep on a romantic date on the beach. Then the woman dresses herself for a wedding and waits for the boyfriend to arrive. The man driving to the house holds a rose to give to her. But then he takes his eyes off the road and he puts the rose in the passenger seat and crashes and is killed. At the girlfriend's house, there's a knock on the door, and believing it's her boyfriend, she rushes to answer, but it's a police officer who tells her about the accident. She cries, and then she goes to the boyfriend's grave where she puts the rose on. So that's that. So, all right. Next up, we got Written in the Stars, not to be confused with that other song. Produced and recorded by David Stenmark and Nick Jarl. Written by Nick Jarl, Stenmark, and Andreas Carlson. So that's another Swedish one. There is no additional information here that I can click on. There's no music video for this one.
I think because there were so many songs at this point, I was like...
You're over it by now? Yeah, for sure. So some of the... Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, sorry.
No.
I also wasn't a fan of this one, but maybe because it was getting long.
Yeah, fair enough. Because most albums are not this many songs, so definitely. Yes. So some of the lyrics are "Stay with me," "Angels can wait," "It's slow." I didn't know the song. "The place where we are is written in the stars." So they had great voices, and it was basically "Life is better with her." So that was kind of the feel of that song. 16th song is "How Does It Feel?" Produced, arranged, and written by mixed by Steve Mack, written by Brian McFadden, Nick Fillion, Shane, and a couple of other people. Rod Hain and LaRossi. There's no music video for this one either. I also did not know it. Then it was like, "How does it feel when I hold you in my arms? When you know you're in love, he's scared of losing her. Loving you brings me to life." I said the song was not bad. Not the greatest, but again, as you're saying, you know, I'm nearing the end of this very long album and I'm just like, I'm kind of tired right now. So
yes. And then you're like, okay, these songs kind of sound similar and like, when is it going to be over?
Yeah, basically, yes. Okay, so then number 17 is "Tonight," not to be confused with the New Kids on the Block song.
La la la
la, 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 la tonight. I like that one better. So this is produced and arranged and mixed by Steve Mack, written by Steve Mack, Hector, and Alphason. This one, there's a lot of rain. They're sad and singing alone. This seems to be a theme of a lot of their songs. So the girl leaves in the car with the other guy, another girl and guy. And then he's like, "I'm going to make it up to you tonight. You know how much I missed you." He also talks about banging her. I was just like, this is a weird, weird, like, weird mix, but okay.
Yeah, I don't think it should have been in there if it's like supposed to be sad.
It's supposed to be like, yeah, he's kind of like, "Oh no, don't think that I'm like not paying attention to you, I guess because you're on tour. I don't know. I don't want you to feel like you're taken for granted." So then, and then I kind of zoned out a little bit. So I'm assuming it's the original boyfriend and not the guy in the girl in the car that they've been in. He gives her a key. So at a bus shelter, like, bus station, there's like a freaking locker, and then there's a dress inside, and then they get married. I was like, what just happened? So I think it's about
a lot of plot.
I feel like I don't know if I zoned out or what, but yeah, so basically it's about a guy saying like he appreciates this girl, yada yada yada. So yeah, good times. Okay, so next up, "Love Takes Two."
Oh, okay, sorry, I really like this one as well. I thought it was awesome. And I was like, yes, another good one that I can sink my teeth into.
Thanks.
I'm not bored anymore. Thank you so much.
You're not bored, you're awake again. Okay, sounds good. So "Love Takes Two" is written, arranged, and produced by Steve Mack, written by Mack and Hector. There's no music video for this one either. And it's "Love Takes Two," "Time and Time," "We've Talked It Through." So he's kind of basically more committed to this. It does have that good dramatic crescendo at the end. It has like, I feel like guitar.
It's like vintage Wesley.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know what I wrote, not bend more. I don't know what that means, but I wrote upbeat. So yeah, so it was a good song, so for sure. And then number 19, so this is the last one on the Wikipedia article. It's called "Miss You Nights." It was produced, arranged, and mixed by Steve Mack and written by Dave Townsend. It was released on November 4th, 2002 as the first and only single from the Greatest Hits album. No, that's not. I clicked the wrong one. A song written by Dave Townsend made famous worldwide by Cliff Richard. Okay, so I guess this is the song. So I guess this is a cover. I didn't realize that. So the original person wrote it in 1974 while his girlfriend was on vacation. So basically, they're in this video, they're in another castle. They're sitting in rooms on thrones, random rooms. There's a girl with a necklace. These "miss you" nights are the toughest, so it's the longest, so it's talking about how much they miss them, and I guess they're on tour and stuff like that. So that was that song. Do you have anything else about that song, "Miss You Nights"? And then the last song that was included in this person, the KCL Greatest Hits Volume 1 Westlife thing, for some reason they included Seasons in the Sun, which is not on this album. So I don't know why she included it in there. Or he, I guess.
Maybe it was on their version of the album.
Maybe they had a version that had that. I have no idea. Yeah. So this is obviously a cover of a song, apparently by Terry Jacks. It was Black and White and They're in the Rain. We had joy. We had fun. We had Seasons in the Sun. And then it was just like really depressing. And like it is. And I've heard that song before, but it never really like hits you. So it's like, goodbye, my friend. It's hard to die. And it was just like, my boss's sister is currently dying right now. And I feel like these, the lyrics just hit really hard and I started crying and I was just like, this is great.
I'm sorry to hear
and
that.
This album. And I was just like, this song isn't even on the album. Why is it on this playlist? Why is this like, you know, whatever. So
they should have kept it from that song. It Takes Two or whatever that was called.
Yeah.
Love Takes Two.
Yes.
They should have like capped it off from there.
Yes. That being said, there was actually a very good version of the song. Like, I felt like they did a good version of Seasons in the Sun. But yeah, don't listen to lyrics if you don't want to hear lyrics.
It will get you. It will get
you. It will get you. So,
yes.
Yes.
Are we going to do the top three or what are we doing?
Oh, yeah. Top three. Okay. I did star some of them, but how many did I star? One.
So I'm going to do Swear It Again.
Yep.
I'm going to do, what's the one with the concert footage again? I forget the name.
I Lay My Love on You when you're looking like that.
Yeah, Looking Like That.
Yep.
For the second one. And then the third one, I'm going to do Uptown Girl.
Okay, fair enough. I have... I Lay My Love on You and Swear It Again, because those are two of my favorite songs. I know it's cliche because they're kind of the bigger hits there. And I'm also going to go with When You're Looking Like That, because I like
that song. Yeah, that was fun.
That was a good song. I gave like a quick half star to My Love, but I don't think that's going to make my top three. So,
and I will give an honorable mention to Love Takes Two, because I like that one as well.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds good. All right, so let us know what your favorite song off of the Westlife Unbreakable Greatest Hits Volume 1, which, by the way, they don't have another Greatest Hits Volume 2, but they do have one called Greatest Hits Again. So there's a lot of Westlife discography here. So let us know what your favorite songs are. Have you ever seen them in concert? And make sure that you tune in next week, because Sophia and I will give you a full recap of the show we went to, and hopefully we'll be able to sing along now that we have listened to all of these songs.
Yes, so. It definitely helped to get us ready for the concert tomorrow.
Woot woot. All right, sounds good. Okay, so I guess we'll see you next week. So thanks for taking a break with us, guys.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye.